Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that understands that to New Yorkers, WrestleMania is bigger than the Super Bowl, because technically there's no way that the Giants or Jets are going to bring that to New York anytime soon. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the man from Parts Unknown, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you?
Oh, Andrew, I am wonderful, man. We are ready, we're doing this, it is WrestleMania week, and no technical difficulties are going to bring me down, all right?
People wouldn't have known, but it's okay. What is Parts Unknown like?
It's good. It's cold. A little chilly. We could use more sun, but, you know, just not that time of year.
Yeah. It being a special week with WrestleMania 35 coming up in just a mere few days, this is a very special recording of our podcast, too, because we have a guest today, only the second time in the history, or maybe third time in the history of our show that we've had a guest. So our very special guest today, he's a podcasting savant. He's the host of How to Watch Movies the Right Way. He's even part of my YouTube TV family.
Oh, that's the best family since the Heenan family.
He's the man who's about to spend an entire week watching live wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
It's Pat Stango.
I'm a nut.
Pat, how are you?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm very excited to talk wrestling and not be embarrassed about it. And just...
Yeah. There's a...
You're ready to talk wrestling because you're about to see a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to see so much wrestling this week.
We're going to get into exactly your like travel log, it's Anthony Bourdain style, and hopefully it's going to end better than that. So, real dark joke to start with.
Also, I really hope the point of the log is actually just you trying all the food in the different venues.
All of the different nachos that the wrestling venues have to offer. I feel like the independent shows I'm going to in Astoria probably might not have the greatest nacho selection.
One of the places you're going to in Astoria, I don't even think has food.
Okay.
So like, good. But it
has probably better.
Very high priced drinks.
Oh, cool.
So mm-hmm. Be ready for that. The very first question we're going to ask you, though.
Yes.
Could you explain professional wrestling to me from your point of view in 20 words or less?
In 20 words or less. I mean, I would say it is the sport. Well, okay. If I was going to go
right,
by
Shane
Vince
Douglas.
McMahon's,
okay.
If I'm going by Vince McMahon's definition, it is superstars battling for championship opportunities for sports entertainment glory.
That's great.
That's you know, that is the truest definition.
That was extremely in depth, actually. Like, I don't think we're ever going to get a better answer to that question.
Yeah.
And of course, it's about creating momentum.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's about the big mo.
Yeah.
So what is your first memory of pro wrestling? As far as I know, you've always been a fan, but I don't know exactly like how young that started.
So I'm older than you guys. My
brag.
Okay. Is that a brag? I'm closer to death than you guys, so I'm doing all right. I probably started watching it right after the like WrestleMania 3-ish era.
Oh wow!
Like my dad always watched it, so it was always on. So I was probably like 5 or 6, was aware of it. So like I remember the first WrestleMania that I watched live was 5 was Hogan Savage, but I had watched WrestleMania 4 on tape like right after. Like I was already watching the Saturday shows by then.
Gotcha.
So like around then, and probably I've watched every WrestleMania the day of since then.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like even the years when I barely paid attention, I still would watch WrestleMania. So even the like post Attitude Era Triple H,
the ruthless aggression era,
yes,
as we would call it, in the glossary that we're going to release this week on our website.
I would say those I still would watch them, mm-hmm. even if I didn't really watch anything else that year.
Gotcha.
I gotta imagine those have had to be some very confusing WrestleManias if you weren't watching the lead up to
them. Well, you know what?
That's, how did we get here?
That's why when you watch it regularly and then you watch WrestleMania and they do the big video packages, I'm always like, God, I don't need to know this. I just get through this. It's 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Let's get through it. But for people who aren't watching it, those are super useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'll be watching those WrestleManias when I wasn't really paying attention, and then 2 minutes back, oh, now I know why Booker T and Edge hate each other now.
Because of a shampoo deal. Yeah. That's what that one was. I remember that one very specifically.
Yeah.
And being
I think it definitely helps that their video department in WWE just happens to be like outstanding.
I would argue that the video packages are better than all the matches at WrestleMania.
Yes.
And I now miss I guess I don't know this because Tyler and I have talked about this in the show before, that it was later in life that we really were watching the shows live, that we were mostly a go get the DVD kind of generation.
Well, I was the illegal cable in Brooklyn generation when I was a kid. So that's how
that's
watched
a good generation there.
You watched like a really scrambly WrestleMania.
They would come in clear. They just would not be legal.
Gotcha.
But, you know, you would get all the in your houses that way.
You would get the in your houses in your house.
Yeah.
I was going to say, though, that I don't know that this would actually happen on the live show if it was just on the DVDs, but the right as the pay-per-views ended, the video packages that was the entire pay-per-view clipped up to the, like, whatever the official song of WrestleMania was that year were always my favorite things ever.
Yeah.
If you're in, and especially, like, I think all of us are in some kind of production, that is so it's amazing to watch how difficult you know that is to do.
Yeah, or to do it on the fly.
Yeah, yeah. So that's very impressive. Yeah, their video production is often so much better than their actual like storytelling, or makes the storytelling look so much better than it ever was.
Yeah. Yeah, you go back and then watch like the Raws and SmackDowns leading up in that storyline to like watch those confrontations, and you're like, oh, people like dropped lines in here and there was like really bad pauses in between, but in the video package is always super crisp.
Yeah.
So here's well, before we get into this WrestleMania, do you have a favorite WrestleMania or just a favorite moment of WrestleMania?
I mean, probably it's hard to top the stuff that you were into when you were a kid because you believe in it so much. I would say like the Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 6 is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, because I was a kid, I loved the Ultimate Warrior. Didn't know at the time what an awful human being he was or was going to be.
Bless his soul. Yeah.
So, but that's the character is just the greatest. So, you know, I was a little warrior. I wouldn't want there to be any more little warriors.
How many Halloweens did you dress up as the Ultimate Warrior?
I don't think I ever dressed up as him for Halloween, but I dressed up as the Ultimate Warrior in my adult life for a live comedy show that was wrestling themed.
That's really awesome.
So I think I didn't dress up as a kid, but I did probably when I was like 28.
My follow-up question was going to be, when was the last time you wore the Ultimate Warrior face paint, and how old were you?
Yeah, it was then. It was probably like it was in the Obama presidency. So.
It was way too late. It was for a official White House event that you were like, I don't want to take us too far off topic because we're going to try to pack a lot into this episode. But I want to throw out
there's 17 matches
within this.
Hey, it's 16 now. Okay,
is it 16 now officially?
Yeah, after the Asuka fiasco.
Oh, that's right. Yikes. Okay, we'll get into that. But I want to throughout this thing that you guys may have not seen before. So the comedian Paul Scheer had this web series he did for a while that was, I'm going to get the title.
Oh,
wrong.
I've seen
the Arsenio Hall.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. And they did an Ultimate Warrior impression. Yeah.
Take transcripts of old Arsenio Hall shows, and then he would dress up as Arsenio Hall and have like modern comedians dress up as whoever the guests were, and they recreate them. And Rob Hubel creates the Ultimate Warrior's appearance on that show, and it is batshit crazy. It makes even less sense, I think, with a comedian reading his words. So you're doing something, I think, that is the most exhausting that anyone's going to have at WrestleMania and WrestleMania season this year. You're seeing so much wrestling.
Well, I'm not seeing probably as nearly as much as a lot of maniacs are seeing. So I'm going to a show on Thursday night, an indie show in my neighborhood, which is the main reason why I'm going to it, is because I'm so excited to be able to walk to a wrestling show.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You don't even have to metro there. You're good to go.
I'm just walking it there. Then I have tickets for another indie show. I took Friday off from work, and I have tickets to another show like Friday afternoon, also in my neighborhood at a different venue. So it's more.
Which show is that? Because I know the first one was the MLW.
The one on Friday is a Evolve show.
Oh, okay.
Or like an Evolve related show. And like that lineup,
Evolve adjacent.
It's an Evolve adjacent show. I don't know really any of the people who are on that one. The MLW show has like Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix and a few people I definitely recognize. It's more. For those, it's more about like walkability than it is star power. Like the big draw.
Location.
Yeah.
The venues are the draw. Then Saturday, we're all going.
Yeah.
It's MSG for the New Japan show.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it the New Japan show, not the New Japan Ring of Honor show.
I explained it to some people at a bar last night as the NJPW/ROH G1 Super Climax card.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, what did you just say to me? Yeah.
You're seeing a climax card? What is this?
Yeah, exactly.
At Madison Square Garden?
Yeah. So you're doing that on Saturday.
And then Mania on Sunday. And I don't have tickets for Raw SmackDown, I think. I think after Mania, okay. I'm going to be done.
Yeah. It's surprising to me that the Monday after Mania Raw crowd is still like as excited as they are, because I would feel so exhausted having gone to all of those things. What is your plan to remain energetic throughout?
I think I'm just I do legitimately feel excited to see Mania.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be any kind of slog once I get there. And also like Sunday, I don't have anything to do until we leave for the show. And what's great for me, coming back to how much walkability is a factor for me, I found a bar 5 blocks from my apartment that is doing a bus to WrestleMania. So I'm just walking 5 blocks from my apartment. I bought tickets for the bus. Me and my friend who I'm going with and my sister who's coming with me are coming to me to meet and walk to the bus, and then they drop us off 5 blocks from my apartment.
Do they take you back too?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
amazing.
Yeah,
so we bought round trip tickets, and so don't have to do any New Jersey transit, which
that's
I'm sure your listeners know is terrible.
Which the true victory of the week.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the biggest heel in New York this week is going to be the NJIT.
Yeah, yeah. No, so that's the other thing that I'm not too worried about being tired, because I'm not going to have like I'm not going to have to drive there or be on like a subway for 4 hours.
Yeah. Which I've said is going to be my favorite part of WrestleMania week, is seeing non-wrestling people have to be in subway cars that are filled with people in Bullet Club shirts. Uh-huh. And be like, is this a gang that just got on here? Am I about to die?
Is the city been infiltrated suddenly?
Yes.
By the least scary gang I've ever seen.
And the baseball furies from the Warriors are pretty not scary. Yeah. So like...
I've seen their handshakes. They do something with their hands, and they call it too sweet.
So this is not going to be your first time experiencing a WrestleMania in New York, correct?
I went to 29, yeah.
Yes, so you were at 29. What was the most memorable part of that show for you, and why was it P. Diddy performing?
You know what? I like the theme song. I like "We're Coming Home." It was emotional. They're all there. We all were home. WrestleMania was our home, guys. Come on. That one.
We're actually legitimately like steps from P. Diddy's home right now, right? Isn't
the building we're in, he does live in the building. So he may drop by this podcast later.
In the building. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like his fee has probably gone down a bit since.
Probably. We might be able to get him on here.
Yeah.
Talk about his WrestleMania experiences.
But what was your favorite part of WrestleMania?
So that one, well, I went with my dad, so that was great. That'll be the thing I always remember. And then Punk versus Undertaker. It actually was a bad WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to not enjoy WrestleMania, you know, being there live. It's awesome. That was not a good one, but Punk Undertaker was by far the best match on the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was rude.
It was the main event, I've been told.
No, that was not the main event.
Not according to Vince McMahon.
Well, they had that match, and then the show pretty much died after that. Because mm-hmm. it was like the Lesnar-Triple H match, and no one cared about that one.
Yeah, that's been retconned, I feel like. I feel like it's funny to think that before WrestleMania 30, the like year and a half of Brock Lesnar returning, he mostly lost, right?
Yeah, he lost to Triple H at the WrestleMania I went to.
Yeah, he lost to Cena before that.
Yeah.
And then like it was like, oh, yeah, so we really didn't think he was going to beat The Undertaker at all.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, the year I went, I was rooting hard for Punk to break the streak.
Yeah.
I got to say, I am kind of glad The Undertaker's not on the card this year.
I am too. Tyler, how do you feel about that? Because we had differing opinions on this last year.
Yeah, no, I'm honestly, I am glad he's not on the card. Because it's just, every year it gets more and more painful to watch an Undertaker match. And I'm kind of just like hoping it's all done and he can ride off into the sunset and be a cool Instagram poster now. Like,
with his Nutrisystem? Yeah.
With his Nutrisystem or whatever. And yeah, I'm honestly, I'm glad I'm not going to have to watch a painful Undertaker match.
Yeah. I'm excited about that too.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the absence of something on the show.
I think the fact that the WrestleMania crowd isn't going to get a live Undertaker entrance, that's the worst part
of
it.
Well, that could still happen, I feel like.
Was he going to interrupt Elias and duet with him or something?
I would love for him to duet with Elias. What would the Elias and the Undertaker duet song be? Would he be like, do you know any Limp Bizkit?
Right. Yeah, he'd have to come into Roland.
You know Roland?
You know Roland? Michael calls, oh my God, the Undertaker's asking, he's requesting songs.
And then have you ever heard of chocolate starfish in the hot dog flavored water?
I didn't know if you were trying to just think of another Limp Bizkit song there. Do you guys remember WrestleMania 19? More specifically, do you remember that the theme song for that was a Limp Bizkit song called Crack Addict?
Yeah, I do remember.
And then they had to be like, Howard Finkel, poor Howard Finkel had to be like, here to perform the theme song of WrestleMania 19, Crack Addict. It was like, oh.
Yeah, those were the down years. Those were the, like, post-Attitude Era, but still skeezy. Like there was
still,
this,
like, post-90s alternative rock.
Yeah.
18 was Drowning Pool's Tearing Away.
Yeah, that was some bad culture in retrospect.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, was it also Superstar by Saliva? They performed multiple times at that WrestleMania because they did the Dudley Boys theme song.
I know they probably performed live in the later ones because don't they do Batista's theme song?
Oh, do they?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of those theme songs I still only know because I have on like a workout playlist on the gym that is just like entrance themes and like songs that were themes of stuff, which makes me sad because I think I alerted them through how often I was listening to this on Spotify, and they took down from whatever like past WWE entrance theme CD it was, or like Our Lady Peace took it down. That I had the Chris Benoit theme song and I would listen to that along, and now it's no longer on Spotify.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
No. I think WrestleMania 21 was the best one though. That's when Triple H came out to Motorhead.
Oh, when Motorhead was there and Lemmy didn't remember the lyrics.
He just kept saying,
it's Lemmy, it didn't matter. Yeah.
Was 22 Chicago?
That was in Chicago, yeah.
Where
that
Peter
was...
Gabriel's Big Time
was the
theme song. I feel like I haven't remembered any of them since that, what the theme songs were. So we're not going to get The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Mm-mm. But we may get CM Punk at the MSG show.
Ah.
So we're all going to the MSG show.
Is there any realistic thought on that or no?
I say 1% chance,
okay,
which is 1% more than I would have said beforehand.
Okay.
But, I mean, he was at Pro Wrestling Tees in a thumb wrestling match with Marty Scurll recently. So that's progress.
That's wrestling.
He's getting back into his competitive nature.
Because he hasn't been in that since before he went into UFC. So
did he win the thumb wrestling?
I have no clue. Honestly, I just know that was a thing.
That dude needs a win.
He trained in the best thumb wrestling academy for 9 months beforehand.
Oh, okay.
In America, top teen thumb wrestling. Yeah. he was just like sparring with Matt Hughes. Matt Hughes's thumb, and it just didn't help.
They
all
said he's a quick learner, though.
How quickly into the second CM Punk fight did you know he was going to lose?
I didn't watch it live. Yeah. I just Googled the result that night and was like, that's a shame.
I watched it live, and he had a haircut where he had these long bangs, and he was getting warmed up in the ring, in the octagon, rather, jumping up and down, and the hair just kept falling in front of his eyes, and I was like, oh, no.
You're like, he's done. He's
no
lost.
Chance. And there was no chance for him to win that. But we're going to the MSG show. What are we most excited for at that before we hop into WrestleMania proper?
All right, I'll go first.
Yeah.
I am excited for all of the New Japan stuff. I would say seeing Okada.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely, that's up there.
And hopefully seeing him win the title. That would be my hope for that night, which I think they should do.
I'm excited to see Jay White, too, actually. Like I'm excited to see people who I've not seen before and like rarely have an opportunity. Tyler and I went to a Field of Honor event a few years ago, so we actually saw a lot of top New Japan people.
There
were like 200 people.
Yeah, like I went back and looked at that card recently to like see who was on it because I couldn't remember, and I'm going through names like we watched Naito wrestle live.
Yeah, the main event was Naito, Tanahashi, Adam Cole, Jay Lethal.
Whoa, cool. Yeah. Wasn't Nakamura on that show?
No, he was already at NXT by that point.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But there was a guy in the second row in full Nakamura cosplay, if I remember.
Oh, he didn't know. He didn't know. He started to avoid it.
He had already bought the costume well in advance and was like, well, this is what I'm doing.
And you're like, you're at the wrong show at this moment. He is somewhere else right now.
So I put Jay White up there as people who I feel like the opportunities for us to see are slim. I'd also, I'm really excited to see PCO.
Yeah, that's
PCO.
I've only heard about him being. I remember he was in the Quebecers or whatever when I was a kid. And now he's what, like a psycho who just like rips his eyes out and stuff? Like, what is he?
He's definitely on a lot of roids.
Okay.
Like, he is just like super jacked.
And he's like 60, right?
Yeah. He's like late career resurgence. And he's in Marty's like Villain Enterprises group.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see what craziness he's going to do. I'm kind of hoping that he will. I know he's in a match, but I'm hoping that he will also be the surprise opponent for Bully Ray in a street fight. Like, I'm excited for that. I'm excited that there will be an element of surprise in the show. I'm pretty sure it won't be CM Punk, but who do we think logically are people who could show up and have this street fight with Bully Ray?
I think the most obvious one is probably going to be Flip Gordon.
Yeah.
Though I'm not sure like what his status is on his injury with like his leg and everything.
Yeah.
I can tell you who I'm like hoping it for, who I would love to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping it's Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah.
Because Ishii doesn't have a match on the card right now, and like he's a huge New Japan name. Also, a street fight between Ishii and Bully Ray would be freaking incredible. So
yeah, I would love that.
I got my fingers crossed right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping it's not just some other former ECW person who's in the area.
Right, like Scott Steiner or Rob Van Dam.
Actually,
or something.
Scott Steiner, I would lose my shit for it.
I might pop for Scott Steiner.
like if they got the some kind of generic theme music that had the sirens at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
I would mark out for that. I know RVD and Sabu are wrestling a tag match at Impact's show. Is that the same night? Do we know?
I think that's Friday night. That was like when I was like going through all of the indie shows. That was like in Jersey somewhere really late. And I'm like, I can't walk to there from my apartment, so I'm not going to go to that one.
There's some crazy shows going on in Jersey too, by the way. Like really, really small shows. They're like pizza party themed. Or the one that I saw today that is Boner Jams, that they're having a fans bring their own building blocks that rhyme with Schmego deathmatch. Because they got a cease and desist from Lego, which is pretty fun. Like, I almost want to go to, like, Edison, New Jersey or wherever the hell they're going to do that just for to see that, but I don't know. I think that's interspecies wrestling is doing that. Yeah.
Wait, so there's going to be, like, someone fighting a kangaroo or something?
I think they have characters who are, who are, like, there's definitely, like, a tag team that are trees.
Okay.
Are they the Ents? That would be cool.
I think they're Team Tremendous.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's, I know there's like a Battle Cat, but not like the Battle Cat.
No, no, not trademark Battle Cat.
Yeah.
No.
There's some other stuff. There's a lot of craziness going
shit
on
this week.
Like without WrestleMania. But I guess, I mean, we're about 20 minutes in now. We should get to the reason that we're all here, the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's time to preview that. It's time to preview the showcase of the Immortals, the Sunday spectacle that, despite having no commercials, will still run longer than the Oscars. This is WrestleMania 35. It's going to be airing on the WWE Network on Sunday, April 7th, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern with the pre-show, 7 p.m. for the main show, and taking place at MetLife Stadium in New York City. Kind of.
In the shadow of New York City. Poor Jersey. They're a state. I've never heard another state described as being in the shadow of another state.
I feel like there's probably
in the shadow of a city in another
state. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
I would love if it was like WrestleMania taking place from Albany, New York. It's from an outdoor stadium in Syracuse. So we've got north of 14 matches on the card. We're recording this on Sunday, and you probably are listening to this on Wednesday, so it's very possible that there's like 20 matches by the time that you guys are listening. So rather than going through all of them one by one over the course of 30 minutes, which would be impossible like we normally do, we're going to take, or I'm going to guide this group through a field of WrestleMania-related questions for 35 minutes in honor of WrestleMania 35.
Yeah.
So we're setting the clock. The kayfabe clock is being set. So we'll run generally 35 minutes, like-ish, on this. So first I want to...
It's a kayfabe 35
The kayfabe
minutes.
35 minutes.
With it's, the 15-minute Raw overrun, of course.
I miss that. They really don't take advantage of that anymore. I know that's not what we came here to talk about, but that was always a really... I loved hearing JR be like, we just got back from our last commercial break. Uh-huh. And knowing, like, at that point, it could be 5 more minutes or it could be 20 more minutes.
Right, right.
Like, that was really nice. But here's the most important question I'm going to pose to you guys is... What match are we most excited for going into WrestleMania 35? And more importantly, which one is going to get the best video package? There's a lot of contenders this year. This is a pretty top-heavy card compared to recent years.
I think in terms of the two questions, I don't think they're going to be the same.
Great.
I'm guessing right now, honestly, I think the best video package could very well be Batista Triple H. Mm-hmm. Just that they have a lot of... footage to go through. I think that one could be a really great video package, but in terms of match, man, I'm in 100% most excited for my boy Kofi Kingston right now.
All right, does it bother you that the build started late?
Not so much, just because it's been done very well. It's one of those builds that, again, like, kind of happens organically, and WWE kind of has to react to it rather than they're creating it. But I just think it was done so well, and, like, honestly, my favorite match, like, I'd be most excited for the women's triple threat, but, like, the lead up for that match has just been, like, insane. Just so crazy with all the changes. So I think in the small amount of time, how well they've told Kofi's story is incredible.
I agree with that, and especially it's amazing to see what happens when they have something break down, and what happens when 6 month out, 9 month out, plans are thrown out the window and they have to do something in a short amount of time.
And yeah, like, and they actually did it.
Yeah, they actually made it good.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty much my thought, too, is I'm most looking forward to the Kofi match. And I'm still really looking forward to the Becky match.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But if that match had taken place like a week after the Becky Ronda Day After Rumble promo, I would be like, this is the biggest match they've had in years, and they've only made it worse in the 2 months since then.
Absolutely.
Whereas like the Kofi match, it probably is so helpful to them that they didn't have enough time to screw it up that they've only been doing it for like a month and a half. And it's now just like, if this had another month to go, then it would probably be pretty bad.
Our listeners in the future know the answer to this question. What could they do on Monday or Tuesday this week to screw it up?
Oh, they'll find something. I mean,
don't put it past Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
And there's race at play. There's a lot that Vince could do to make this really
cringy.
Well,
that's an interesting point you bring up, is like the implicit, right? Like they haven't outwardly had Vince be like, I don't like black champions. But they've really actually like kind of masterfully and subtly brought it up. Do we think that that is actually why this is become as successful as an angle as it has?
Yeah, Vince's real life racism has really helped this wrestling program be entertaining, and he knows it. He's like, God, everyone knows I'm a racist. It'll be great.
I can make them pay money to see it.
But that brings up an interesting point too. That for me, I think I'm actually most excited still about the women's triple threat. I'm excited that they've announced it preemptively as the main event, so that there doesn't have to be any kind of like audience backlash for any match not being main event. And we've seen Vince involved in both of those storylines pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a question I posit, is will Vince appear in the ring during the show, and whose match will it be in?
I hope neither. I feel like if it would be either of them, it would have to be Kofi, because he's not going to like punch Becky Lynch or something.
And also I feel like his role within the Becky storyline has kind of
dwindled,
like disappeared within the last like month or so. I feel like he's like directly related to the Kofi storyline. I feel like it's got to be that
one. Is there a possibility of him coming out and Dusty finishing it, like have Kofi win the belt and then have him restart the match with like John Cena as his opponent?
I could see that. I mean, I think I really want Kofi to win, but I could see that one. I could see them going with that one where it's like Kofi getting the match was what he was after, and he doesn't win the title.
So it's Booker T versus Triple H at WrestleMania 19. Same racial overtones.
Man. Yeah.
Is there any chance of a New Day swerve return?
God, I hope not. Yeah. I never want to see them break up. I like that they're friends.
Yeah.
That's so nice to just see people be friends in wrestling. And don't the friends could stay friends.
Yeah.
The idea of a faction that you know is not going to break up is insane.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. And I hope that they then lean heavily on it, that the fact that like their bitter rivals, the Usos, basically were the people who made sure that the match is going on. I would love to... Because you know that the New Day is going to be at ringside.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see then, like, halfway through the match, the Usos come out and be like, we're also going to be at ringside and cheer on Kofi. And just see, like, more and more people who are not booked on the card just coming out. I'm here to root on Kofi. I think that would be...
Yeah. What if they turned it into a lumberjack match and, like, have all the SmackDown Live faces just surrounding Daniel Bryan?
Man, I think that could actually work, but I hate lumberjack matches for the most part.
Yeah.
But this is one that, like, I could see that working.
And Daniel Bryan, wasn't he a lumberjack in real life? So it'd be maybe to his advantage.
I mean, he's got the uniform.
Yeah, he certainly looks like one. It's him and Dexter are the lumberjacks.
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, everybody.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm psyched for that, Matt. I mean, it should be great. I mean, it's so interesting, too, to me that I'm going to be going into WrestleMania this year booing Daniel Bryan. Like, that's almost unthinkable.
Yeah.
Yeah. We wait until a week after WrestleMania on our show to vote for our top 10 wrestlers of the year, but I'm letting you all know that I'm voting for Daniel Bryan.
Oh,
strictly from like an out of ring standpoint, okay.
Yeah.
Actually, just like his ability to be the hottest, you know, biggest white heat babyface we had had since The Rock.
Yeah.
And then to
literally
turn
ever.
It around.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, the greatest.
Yeah. That is the most masterful.
Yeah.
Like, indie acting I've ever seen in a
oh,
WWE
yeah.
product.
Like a year ago when we watched WrestleMania last year together,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and he made the comeback, I was like honestly tearing up
yeah.
seeing him come mm-hmm. back, and now a year later I'm just going to be screaming that I hate him.
mm-hmm.
That's great. He's a genius.
It's crazy that I thought the same thing when he announced that he was coming back to wrestling, when he announced it on SmackDown Live. I remember watching that episode live, and my girlfriend was like sitting on the couch next to me, and I'm like almost tearing up, being like, hey, I can't believe
yeah,
he's
yeah.
back. And like my whole thought was like, there's no one, Daniel Bryan will never be booed again.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, he'll never be booed. And they completely proved me wrong.
I haven't subjected Chelsea to having to watch Raw or SmackDown with me much in the last 2 years,
uh-huh.
but it's there have been three times that she's been like, yes, like I need to watch this segment with you. And it was Daniel Bryan's coming out of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman Reigns, my name is Joe, I have cancer, and a few weeks ago on SmackDown, the Kofi begging Vince to let him go to WrestleMania.
Oh, that was great. Now, this storyline
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah. So if you had the book, if I gave the book to you two and tasked you with deciding who's going to open the show, I'm still like there's a lot of matches on here that seem like first half of the show matches, and a lot of the matches seem very main eventy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how you can actually stack those four main event matches at the end without one of them mm-hmm. suffering just
right.
from burnout or fatigue. So who are you guys putting first on the main show?
I don't necessarily think that. Like, so my original thought was like maybe they'll do like one of the would be main events as your opener, like Seth versus Brock maybe, or the Kofi Daniel Bryan match or something like that. But I'm actually think I have a different way of approaching it. I think given that Becky, Ronda, Charlotte triple threat is going to be closing out the night,
mm-hmm.
I think they're going to want to like keep this idea of like women's evolution throughout the, you know, 2019 year, and they're going to probably open it with the women's four-way tag match.
That's really smart.
I never
would have considered
I think
that. That's really good booking,
like,
Tyler.
Yeah.
thank you, sir. They set the tone for the night that, you know, this is a new WWE, this is a new WrestleMania where we put women like on the same level as the male superstars. And also, I think if you give those eight women the chance to open the show, I think they're gonna go all out,
mm-hmm.
and it could actually turn out to be a really good match.
Yeah, that's a good like they don't believe in us kind of like.
Right.
FU performance from those performers if they were given the curtain jerking role.
Yeah. Give Tamina the chance to shine.
Yes.
I think she's had some
push Tamina
chances. I feel like I would look at either AJ versus Randy or Samoa Joe versus Mysterio. I want something that if you give it 8 minutes is still gonna be really, really good.
Yeah.
I feel like both mm-hmm. of those work.
And then both of those are matches that I could see really dying 3 hours into the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as they're all really great, if you put Ray and Samoa Joe on, like, you know, at 10 o'clock, that's going to
yeah.
be rough.
Yeah.
I
honestly, it's hard for me to get excited for a Randy Orton match after 10 p.m.
I know. Oh.
It's a general rule.
Yeah, that's
a general rule.
That's probably my bathroom break match is Randy Orton
and AJ, or just
I'm
Randy
not a huge AJ
general.
Fan. Otherwise,
them together
so,
makes sense to me.
Yeah, just get it out of the way.
That could be a dark horse for best video package of the night. Actually, if they have like the working
Maybe.
Agreement with
uh-huh.
Global Force Network and like can
well,
can do
they've
some
used
stuff.
A lot of TNA footage before, so
but not during like a live. Pay-per-view, have
not
they?
During a pay-per-view. They've used it on like their documentary series on the
yeah.
network, and they've used it on like a random episode of SmackDown or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe not on pay-per-view. I guess
I feel like you, some other like dark horses. You could open with Lashley and Finn Balor, just since they've kind of announced that the Demon is going to be out there. And
that was
that
actually
going to
be my pick.
Yeah.
I think that because that's another one that would die 3 hours in. But I would just open it with that match. demon entrance, and he beats him in two minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to see Lashley bear hug him for, you know, 5 minutes in the middle of a match. Just like demon, three kicks, the stomp, and that's it.
Yeah.
One, two, three. That'd be good. What about, I think they'd open it with Roman, maybe?
I think that's also, like, a smart way that they got to milk the good, the goodwill from the audience for Roman, like,
for
as long as humanly possible.
I know it's one of your questions on there, but since we're talking about him.
No, let's,
do you think there's a chance the WrestleMania crowd boos him? Or
Roman?
Or gives him the least of the, gives him like the worst reception he has had yet. Or is he just golden forever?
I can see him having the worst reception since coming back, just because there's so many people.
Yeah.
Mm. If it were in Philly, I think he would get booed. But I don't know. You're going to be part of this audience.
Well,
Pat.
I think I'm just polling you guys. Could I boo him? Is it okay?
Is it all right for me to do it? Because I'm a DM. Yeah.
If you're going to boo it.
Yeah.
Then you have to boo him so vigorously that the camera finds you and you become the guy that everyone online shits on.
Yes.
There. It's like, look at this asshole who booed
him. Did you see
him.
That guy booing Roman Reigns?
I want you to wear a shirt that says, down with Roman, up with cancer.
Yeah.
Just like...
Yeah, oh, no. Maybe not. Maybe I'll just politely clap when he comes in. I mean, I like Roman fine. Yeah. Obviously, I am glad he's alive. I guess they could put him on first and he wins. So does he win that match? Are they beating Drew McIntyre?
I think he wins because
I think he's definitely winning.
There's some if there weren't two other matches that made sense to go on last in Kofi versus Daniel and the women's triple threat, I think there's a world where with Dean Ambrose leaving, the final shot of the evening is the Shield people all just standing together, like victorious. So I feel like that could still happen in the middle of the show, like having.
That Rollins match is going on in the middle of the show for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's going to be. I think that and Triple H Batista are going to be in the middle. Actually, I could see Triple H Batista being like the second to last match with like the Cruiserweight match or the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, like thrown.
The Cruiserweight match has to be in the pre-show, right?
Man,
they should put that on now while we're talking.
Unfortunately, that's guaranteed pre-show.
Poor Tony Nese.
Yeah, that's got to go on like when they're opening the building.
You know that's guaranteed pre-show.
And the Battle Royal, I feel like, can't be pre-show this year.
No, with you got Colin Jost.
with Colin Jost in it, and Michael Che.
I guess so, because that's the whole point of the Battle Royal now is that storyline.
We're going to do some Battle Royal talking because I got some stuff that's going to blow your mind. I don't think Shane and Miz would go on. That's a middle. Everything feels like the middle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what is going to be the like bathroom break.
There's like 10 or 12 matches that all feel like, man, if they put that on 2 hours in, it's going to die. So it's like some of that has to go on 2 hours in.
Do you open then with Kurt Angle, Baron Corbin, so you get Baron Corbin legit heel heat?
Oh, yeah, that could be an opener. They have to have like 4 or 5 matches that are kind of squashes.
Yeah, or like Gaga, or like things are they're not actually going to be that match.
Yeah,
like
I don't think that they'll open with Kurt Baron because regardless of the like, if Baron gets a really big like heel reception, like that, I'm pretty sure that match is going to be a dud. Like,
yeah, that could be a non-match.
Yeah,
that'd be sad for Kurt Angle's last match to be like not competitive at all.
Unless if we do get the swerve that Corbin is not his real opponent and like it turns out to be John Cena. Then that could be a super cool opener.
I did see today Dave Meltzer talking about that John Cena does have a match on the show and it's being like highly protected in house.
So it's got to be Kurt Angle, right? What
else?
Or
Elias.
Be Kurt?
Like those are the two.
I can't be.
Like I could see someone interrupting Elias. That would be fun.
Yeah, they're definitely gonna do that. I mean,
Alexa
I'm hoping
Bliss
it's
will
the
be
Rock.
Involved in that too.
Okay,
I imagine.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, Alexa still... Bliss is hosting. There's so much on the show. It's
I forgot
be, like,
that she's
40
hosting.
Days.
Jeez. Yeah.
Oh, so she's going to have a segment, or at least not a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll just be one segment.
Jam all of that into the Elias segment, I think.
The Elias is super big segment to start the show.
Yeah.
It'll be super fun. Is Is there a possibility that this is going to be a retro WrestleMania where all the faces win? And if not, then who is losing between Seth, Kofi, and Becky?
I think out of those ones, I think Seth has the worst odds of winning.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, because I think Becky is a guarantee almost at this point.
Yeah.
Kofi's kind of still up in the air, but I feel like they're going to give him the win. Seth, honestly, I would not be surprised in the slightest if Brock wins.
Yeah.
I could see that. And then
never bet against Brock Lesnar is what I've learned.
If they do that, they really the reason I could see them doing that is if Roman's winning the title the next night.
Yeah.
Because I think Roman being back probably has made them feel a little more like, all right, we don't need Seth to win here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get the title on Roman. But they really then need to do that on Raw. Because like the Lesnar is, God, he sucks so much now to me.
He's awful. I am so sick of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he's beyond being entertaining to me.
And it is like if Andre the Giant won the title from Hogan at WrestleMania 3 and was still the champion at like WrestleMania 8. It's like no one wants to see that.
I'll say I agree that like if it is going to be all three as champion, then someone's dropping the belt the next night. I could see that. I could see the New Day turn happening on Tuesday.
Big E beating
or like something like that. Mm. Or just putting it back on Brian.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if Kofi I don't know what Kofi as a long term champion looks like.
Yeah, I think with Kofi it's just like people want to see him win it. He's not necessarily gonna be the guy that people want to see for like six months with it.
Yeah.
So they all could win and then Kofi loses it back like at the next show.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to something in the middle of the match, or not in the middle of the match, but the middle of the card, we got not one, but two possible people retiring at this pay-per-view. There's now a retirement stipulation to the Batista Triple H match. Does that hurt it or help it?
I mean, I think we always kind of figured Triple H was going to win, but now it's a guarantee. He's not going to retire. He's got like 10 years of Saudi Arabia shows. He's got to be on.
Unless that doesn't count as retirement, though.
There's a crown prince or two that really want to see Triple H wrestling.
If that was the stipulation, if they announced that it was retired only in the United States, then I would say, all right, he might lose. So he's free to do Australia, Saudi Arabia, you know, wherever, when they go to the moon for a paid show. But yeah, Batista's definitely going to lose.
I think that's a pretty solid lock.
My hot take for the evening is Batista's winning that match.
I mean, I would love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be rooting my head off for Batista. Drax is the best.
Do you think he comes out as Drax?
Guardians 3 is happening.
I think... with the XFL coming back next year, I think we just all have not been privy to like conversations where Triple H is like, hey, I'm ready to like take it over.
Well, and I mean, I'm sure he definitely wants it.
Yeah. And I wonder if this is like him showing that to management to be like, yeah, I'm cool to not wrestle anymore. Mm-hmm. I know he also had a pretty bad injury at the Saudi Arabia show. I wonder if he is at a point where he's like, you know what? I don't want to take bumps anymore. I just have a feeling. Batista's not coming back to job.
We could talk ourselves into any result.
Oh, I'm trying.
Yeah.
Because otherwise this match suddenly went from being something that is like, you know what? This is interesting to me, to being totally worthless.
Yeah.
Like if it's... So I'm talking myself into it. Because otherwise I will go to the bathroom during this match. After the video package.
Yeah.
Of course.
Are you guys excited for Batista?
Kind of.
I'm a little excited.
Yeah, I'm a little excited. I always liked Batista, even like specifically like with the Evolution days and stuff. Like I was super into that storyline watching it as a kid. Mm-hmm. So like I've always kind of enjoyed him. And he does have that rock feel of like the message, the match is going to be special because he's this like returning guy who he has no need to come back to wrestling, but he's coming back because, you know, he loves it. Yeah. So
I'll say I've been really pleasantly surprised with how good their storyline build has been.
Mm. Yeah, it's been great.
I love the, like, convention-breaking...
Andrew, would you say they gave you what you wanted?
They did. They gave me what I want, what I really, really wanted.
I love that segment. Yeah. It was so dumb.
Give me what I want.
Yeah.
It was.
It was so...
Give it to me.
It's what I...
Give me what I want.
I want wrestling to be a bunch of coked-out maniacs screaming at each other. And that's what they were. Say... Batista, like, came just, like, fucking out of a coke binge into the ring, sweating, screaming, making no sense. It's awesome.
I loved him coming back and dragging the cameraman to shoot him, like to shoot that backstage promo, and the very Blumhouse Productions like horror shot of the wide shot of the security camera of him dragging that cameraman. Yeah. And I was like, great, I'm in. Yeah. I'm totally in now.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm excited for that match. And when I saw that there was a career on the line, we got really deflated.
Yeah. But maybe you're right, though. Now I'm fully into your theory that Batista is going to win this match and Triple H is going to retire.
What are the chances he comes out and drags? Get up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Triple H is probably going to come out.
Oh, did you say drag? he is forced to retire, and then it's like he's Triple H.
I meant Drax get up, but actually that sounds a little bit better.
Will Triple H come dress as Star-Lord? What is Triple H going to come dressed as? Terminator, Barbarian, King.
He's already done like Game of Thrones, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Or I guess Seth Rollins did.
Oh, dude, he'll have to come dressed as Thanos.
Oh.
All right.
He's already got the... Just paint him purple. He's good to go. Yes.
I'd say the odds of that are probably pretty, pretty high.
Oh, he comes in with the Infinity Gauntlet. Oh, this is going to be nuts. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. This has got to go on last.
He snaps his finishing move is the finger snap of doom. It's going to be
because
the finger snap of doom.
Because half the crowds are going to go to the bathroom during this match.
Is this the year that NXT TakeOver finally doesn't exceed WrestleMania in its like critical reception?
I don't know.
Wait, guys, tell me the NXT card.
You know,
I was about to say like this is one of the first takeovers in a while where like I honestly am not sure what's happening.
Yeah, I'm not super excited for it either. There's just so much. I love NXT, but there's just so much wrestling to get through. And even though like the way I watch it is pretty much like, I'll watch like a 40-minute version of Raw and SmackDown at some point in the week.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's still YouTube family. I watch a YouTube fast forward through. I don't think I've ever seen a Dolph Ziggler match in the last year. but even with that, it's so hard to follow NXT because there's just I can't watch
so much
10 hours of wrestling a week. My wife would kill me. yeah, maybe. I mean, the thing is, WrestleMania is so long that NXT has the advantage of just being a 2.5-hour show.
Yeah, it's hard to compare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think I have such high hopes for WrestleMania this year. I said that about WrestleMania last year as well. I thought WrestleMania last year was pretty good.
Yeah. There's an amazing 2.5-hour show in last year's 6-hour WrestleMania. That's the problem.
Yeah. And I think we know that the WrestleMania will end without leaving a sour feel in our mouth. We think I could still see Charlotte winning that match somehow,
that
but like
ridiculous
because they've also said that they're working on what Becky's going to be doing for WrestleMania next year already.
Okay,
so like if it's the kind of thing where it's like we know we're doing The Rock versus John Cena next year, so like that totally affects the way we do the match this year.
Mm-hmm. Becky's got to win that one.
I think
people would be so sad leaving if she did. Because like last year, when Roman didn't win, people weren't mad. They were just like, all right, fine, we could leave.
Yeah.
But with Becky, she's got to win.
What do you think happens if Becky, Kofi, and Seth all lose?
I mean, I guess nothing. We would all still subscribe to the network.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
You're gonna see a lot of people pushing the like cancel your network hashtag, but that'll probably last like a couple weeks.
So because I know that we're kind of going over on time already, they're gonna pull the plug on us. We're like we're Halloween Havoc. Who are we most surprised to see left off the card this year?
God, isn't everyone on? I mean, I guess Cena, because it is weird to me how they've used him the last few years. Like, he is still such a, I mean, he's like a bigger celebrity now than he's ever been.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's up for doing whatever with them still. And I am surprised, like, if you think of his last few years of WrestleManias, it's been like The Miz and the squash by The Undertaker last year and then this year.
I will argue, though, that I still think that Undertaker squash is some of the one of the best things I've seen John Cena do in Mania in a long time.
Him in the crowd was pretty great. Yeah. Like, his crowd work was on par.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. I'm surprised they're not getting better use out of him at these shows, because he's just such a giant celebrity relative to, like, who they have.
Yeah. I'm shocked that Nakamura isn't on the show. I mean, I maybe shouldn't be because of the way he's been booked.
I mean, he'll be in the Battle Royal,
right? Yeah, but, like...
Yeah, we were all at the Rumble that he won a year ago.
It seemed like everyone was on board to be with him.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, I guess just because it happened so recently, I am now shocked that Asuka is going to probably be in the Women's Battle Royal if it happens.
Yeah, that's a good... That will be on the pre-show if it happens.
We see, I actually don't think it will be, because, again, this pulls into the idea of, like, women's progression and WWE. I think if the men's battle royal is guaranteed to be on the main card because of that SNL storyline, there's no way they can put the women's battle royal on the
so
pre-show.
Then is it just Buddy Murphy and Tony Nese on the pre-show, or is, like, is I Kurt Angle, Baron Corbin going to the pre-show?
Maybe. I think on whatever
I think pre-show we got cruiserweight match,
because it's 2 hours, so there's got to be a second match.
Oh, no, yeah, there's probably going to be three, honestly.
Are there tag title matches that they haven't announced yet?
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Are there tag matches?
The Revival will face somebody.
That's pre-show.
And that's definitely pre-show.
If the Usos get announced for a match, that's pre-show.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think the women's match, unless they get Kate McKinnon in it, I don't think that's going to be on the main show.
Maria Menounos, my pick always.
Yeah. Yep. If Maria Menounos is in there, that's closing the show, baby.
They could make it work if they did both battle royals on the pre-show. Mm-hmm.
And simultaneously.
Yeah.
In war game
style. Yeah. And Asuka wins the men's battle royal. I would love that, actually.
Is Colin Jones winning the men's battle royal?
Well, okay, let's talk about the men's battle royal, because I got some stuff to tell you about this. This was, I didn't look at the betting odds for any other matches in WrestleMania, because I don't want to know.
Uh-huh.
But I looked at it for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So I want to go through some numbers with you. So the person who has the second best odds, Braun Strowman leads the pack with his odds, and it was like 5-1. Rob Gronkowski has 16-1 odds. He's pretty high up there. Uh-huh. He just retired from football last week. He's best friends with Mojo Rawley.
He's done WrestleMania stuff before.
Yeah. His experience in this match at WrestleMania. Right. You'd have to think that there's a high possibility of him showing up.
Yeah,
Colin Jost and Michael Che both have the same odds as Hulk Hogan.
Oh, Jesus.
They're both like 30-1, which is not terrible.
Wow.
I want to see Michael Che and Hulk Hogan face off, like, Warrior Hogan style. Like, look side to side.
Does Hulk Hogan screw Kofi out of winning
this? Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, no. I'm not even going to. The second best odds are Curt Hawkins.
That he finally gets
his win.
I thought the tag match was potentially going to be Revival versus Ryder and Hawkins.
I'm just telling you what Vegas told me, because also...
Oh, okay, you're right.
Also,
you're right.
Like, the seventh best odds to win this match are Kofi Kingston.
So then no one knows what's going on here.
He has 25-1 odds.
I feel like it's got to come down to Strowman and the SNL guys... And either the ending is either Michael Che pushes Colin Jost into Braun, jumps out of the ring, Braun power slam wins, or someone screws Braun, and they're the last people in the ring, and Colin Jost wins.
Yeah. I feel like in fourth place then, because the three of them are going to be the final three. The fourth place will be Mustafa Ali, I think. I'm sorry, Ali, because he just got his name short.
Yeah, that could be a good one.
Yeah. It should be someone like him that could use it, but it'll probably be Colin Jost.
But again, the history has proven that winning the Andre Battle Royal really doesn't
mean
anything.
It's actually like the worst thing that could happen for you. How badly does Colin Jost get booed?
He's been a great heel. I was listening to Dave Meltzer's podcast, and his co-host was talking about it. He's like, he didn't know who they were. He's like, these SNL guys. And like, my wife was walking in the room. And then they go, this Colin Jost is profoundly unlikable. And then my wife listens to that. It's like, wow, whoever this is, they're right. And she's like, just based off of SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we got time for a few more questions before we got to move on. I want to ask, you know, in the past, the widespread knowledge that competitors are leaving after WrestleMania has made fans kind of turn on a match in the middle of the match. Do we think that there's any risk of that this year with Ronda or with Brock? We're pretty sure that Ronda's taking time off and leaving to start a family. We kind of, according to Daniel Cormier, Brock is done after this. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe it until I see it with him.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think Brock and Ronda are going to get those responses regardless.
Right, they're the heels.
I think whether or not the fans are turning on the match is kind of irrelevant at this point.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think during the women's match, whenever Becky's not in there, when they do the inevitable, like, both put her through a table spot, the Charlotte-Ronda stuff is going to be pretty dead.
Yeah.
Like, that might get the crowd being, like, chanting bullshit or end this match or whatever, but whenever Becky's in there, I think they're going to be going nuts. So,
yeah.
Do you think they have Travis Brown get involved?
He's a great douchebag. Him and Colin Jost are like
he's
the best
a real
heels.
Life.
He's profoundly unlikable.
He's, he's definitely hit some women before. Is like the thing.
And I don't think he's gonna. I could see him taking a slap from like Becky or something.
That'd be great. I would love to see that.
So WWE is going into this being like, let's use the fact that everyone knows Vince is a racist and that we have this other guy who's a wife beater and really get our money's worth out of it with these two.
So the last big question I'll ask, I mean, we could talk about Ronda versus Becky versus Charlotte forever. And like, this is going to be the lasting legacy of this WrestleMania, I think. But if I put some fake teeth in all of us and we were now suddenly Kevin Dunn and we got to call what the lasting image, what we're going out on at WrestleMania this year, walk me through your setup as a director. Like, what does it look like? What are we seeing?
All right, I'll tackle this one first. I have to ask a question. They haven't declared yet whether or not the triple threat match is going to be for both the Raw and Women's SmackDown side.
No,
right?
They have not clarified that issue yet.
Okay, so this is dependent upon if they don't. If they keep it and they're just like, this is just going to be for the Raw Women's Championship, I think there's a strong possibility the closing segment we're going to get is whatever needs to happen in the match will happen to get it to be Becky and Ronda left at the end. Becky taps Ronda out. She wins. She's now the Raw Women's Champion. We're going to have a great little standoff moment where Charlotte makes her way back into the ring. And, like, she's holding her SmackDown title. Becky's got her Raw title. They kind of, you know, have a little, like, tense stare off. And then at some point, they like raise both titles in the air. They hug, they embrace, something like that. They've bonded, and then maybe have Sasha and Bayley, if they retain the women's titles, come down to the ring. We have all four horsewomen in the ring holding their gold at the end.
That makes sense.
I mean, I think that is it.
Yeah.
I think that's a solid one, but that has a lot of like prerequisites here that need to be met. Like Sasha and Bayley have to retain. Like
I could also see having Becky Kofi and Seth all with their titles mm-hmm. in the ring together and be the literal visualization of this new We Are the Authority era of wrestling, of being mm-hmm. like, they literally mm-hmm. gave us what we wanted.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if that's the case, and then Kenny Omega, Cody, and the Young Bucks come through the crowd, super kick party.
Surprise, AEW was a slur.
Cody's wearing a denim vest without any sleeves on. He's like, you know who I am.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it's going to be the four horsewomen all with their titles, which I don't like it. I think the best ending would be pretty much what Becky described in her last promo, which is her holding the title standing on Ronda's head.
That'd be great.
Like, I think end it just on her, but I think you're right. There's going to be no way they could resist that photo op mm-hmm. of wedging Charlotte in there also with the title and mm-hmm. being like, and they're all going to be on the Today Show tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But that would be a great setup. You could use that footage for an awesome video package when Ronda comes back in a year mm-hmm. with Shayna Baszler and Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke in tow.
Yeah, you just actually took the words out of my mouth, Tyler, that maybe that's mm-hmm. the next year's Becky match that they're building to
yeah.
and that like mm-hmm. we could have the eight in a standoff to end WrestleMania mm-hmm. to be like, you know, stay mm-hmm. tuned next year on WrestleMania.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Next time on WrestleMania.
The other two have got some time to then get better in the ring and a higher profile than I guess. Too.
Yeah.
But
no, I think that's 95% chance that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a 95% chance that Tyler has repaired everything on the Kayfabe 5000.
Well, you know, sometimes those chances aren't that great, but I will say that the kayfabe is working in tip-top shape. I've put some great WrestleMania decorations on there.
Oh, what do you got on there?
Well, you know, like, I put a great banner on there. It said, "Welcome to WrestleMania 23. It was an old one, so I had to cross it out and write 35 on it. Put some streamers on there. There's one of the old like WrestleMania branded folding chairs from a past one that's inside
Ooh.
The kayfabe. You would get seating now.
Oh, that's nice.
We're making improvements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time we're going to bring, I guess not the first time we're going to bring three people in it. Mm-hmm. We had a dark wandering traveler one time who
yep.
made us go to a match in a volcano, I think.
He wandered into the kayfabe and
yeah. But this is the first time that we have three people who aren't immortal coming in at once. Is there anything that we should let Pat know about?
So I might not survive this?
Yeah, maybe not.
All right.
No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. My scientists assure me that nothing like that could happen.
Unfortunately, his scientist is Thomas Dolby, the guy who's saying she blinded me with science. So, was his name Thomas Dolby? It's something Dolby.
We're going to go with that.
I mean,
yeah.
No one cares.
Who's going to fact check yeah. us on this one?
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to hop in. We're going to answer some questions. How do we get it to start now, Tyler?
You know, I'd love to say it's something fancy, but I did. I lost the budget on the decorations.
All those streamers, really?
It's all those streamers, man.
All right. Then do you want to do the honors and flip the switch?
Absolutely. Here we go.
Oof, it's like really cold in here. Like it really does feel like the DeLorean now. We're like, we move so fast that like it froze shut.
That was fun.
Absolutely.
I want to ride it again.
Well, you might get a shot, Pat. So the first question actually is for you, Pat. Who's going to be the better wrestler, Michael Che or Colin Jost? And follow-up question, what are the chances that the Weekend Update become Raw Tag Team Champions sometime in the near future?
I think Colin Jost, because I think he's just going to play real dirty. I think he's going to be in there. I think Michael Che has got more honor and is not going to cheat, whereas Colin Jost is going to be poking eyes. He's going to be distracting the ref. He's probably got a foreign object in his pants. And I think Colin Jost, therefore, will be more successful because he's just a dirty heel.
It's too bad that...
I mean, he's a dirty rule breaker.
Yes.
Is what I mean.
Yes. It's too bad that that Stefan probably won't show up on Weekend Update this week, because I could see him being like, you've got a foreign object in your pants to Colin Jost. I think it's also
what are the chances we get Stefan as their manager?
He's got to promote Barry.
Yeah.
You got to promote.
Or I mean Stefan, who's not he's a character. He's not. Yeah. This just fell into a totally different world. Tyler.
Yes.
Is CM Punk going to answer Bully Ray's open challenge at the MSG show? We saw Bully Ray on Ring of Honor television say, you know who I'm talking about, and I'll see you there, Punk. Is that who he's talking about?
Oh, man. You know, I think he's certainly leading us to believe that, but, I mean, I don't think there's any guarantee in that. I mean, who's heard of CM Punk in the last, like, 6 to 7 years? I mean, the last I saw him, he was walking out of WWE. Haven't seen him since.
Yeah, I guess the last time we saw him, he was on an apron for much of a Royal Rumble, and then Kane threw him over.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, into the pits of hell.
I mean, who knows what that guy's doing? Who knows if he even knows that WrestleMania's happened? I don't think so. I don't think CM Punk's going to show up. I think, we could have some other really cool names in there. I know I'm pulling for Brother D-Von to maybe show up.
Oh, he's been MIA as well, too, recently. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, like, will it be like SLC or SLK Punk? What was the Lillard movie? Is he talking about Matthew Lillard?
Yeah, what reaction would Matthew Lillard get in Madison Square Garden? Probably not a great one.
There's a lot of Scooby-Doo heads who are going to be there rooting
Well, I
him
hope
on.
CM Punk comes back.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope he's learned a few like new holds since then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hopefully he's been training in some kind of camp.
Yeah,
in some capacity.
Pat...
Yes.
What will come back to New York City first, after this year, of course? Uh-huh. WrestleMania or an Amazon headquarters?
Let's see. Yeah, Amazon, probably not. So, WrestleMania, I guess. We kicked Amazon out, but we love WrestleMania.
Is there any way that Amazon returns as the, like, majority shareholder of WWE,
or at least the sponsor some year? Like WrestleMania brought to you by Amazon.
Would
Snickers
would
and
Jeff.
What's that awful snack that they always have, the
Slim Jims?
No,
Mountain Dew,
like,
Kickstart.
Mountain Dew. It's like some Takis. It's going to be brought to you by Amazon and Takis.
And Lugs and Stacker 2.
Stacker 2, the world's strongest fat burner.
Do we want to, on our show, can we find some Stacker 2 and I'll take it during the show one time and see what happens?
I mean, we could, but like, I wouldn't recommend it.
Bully Ray would recommend it. Do you think the punk he's talking about is like whoever released him from his Stacker 2 contract? Because he was the person who was like in those ads. Maybe that's who he's going to fight.
I remember Carrot Top was a prime focus of those Stacker 2 ads. It was when we had Jacked Carrot Top.
Oh, is he who's going to fight Bully Ray?
He's a punk.
He'd be good in a street fight because he is a prop comic.
Yeah.
So he would be good with like...
He'll wheel in a card of
He'd
like...
be like Raven, but like for today.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what we need is a Raven for today.
Uh-huh. Andrew, I have a question for you.
Oh, great.
Though, man.
I wasn't expecting any questions, so this is good.
Excellent. So if you had the opportunity, you did your training, you were ready, you were out there, you were signed by WWE.
Who's to say I'm
What
not?
Would your elaborate WrestleMania entrance be?
Well, I think I've mentioned before that in my brief career as a backyard wrestler, when I was 12, I went by my legal name.
We call those the indies.
Yes, it certainly was independent. My legal name of Andy Cash, and the S was a dollar sign. So I think that my my elaborate entrance would be that rising out of the entrance ramp would be this big ATM. And I would just shoot out of the bottom of it.
Holy shit.
Okay.
And I would have like just like dollar bills with my face on them that would like drop from the ceiling. I think that would be.
Oh, nice. Give it the Okada entrance.
Yeah.
I like it.
Wow, or actually, cool. You know what? Even better, because like as Andy Cash, as we all know, I have like a lot of money. I think I would pay off Paul McCartney to license out one time only Helter Skelter, and I would force him to be on stage and play it live, and I would come out to Helter Skelter, and then every time that you would watch it again later on the network, it would be some song that sounds kind of like Helter Skelter, but isn't. I think that would be mine. I'm actually curious what your guys' elaborate entrances would be, too.
God, that would... I mean, it's hard to top having the living Beatles play you in.
Yeah. I'm
not paying
Andy
for
Bucks.
Ringo. Ringo's not coming. It's just...
All right, then maybe mine would be Ringo.
What Ringo song? Would it be like a song that Ringo sang in particular?
Yeah, it would be like whatever that one he made for when George Harrison died. I would go with that one.
Oh, man.
It would be a really somber. It'd be like, wait, is this Ringo? And, oh, why is it so sad? This is not a good WrestleMania this year.
Tyler, what would your elaborate entrance be?
Oh, you know, I thought about this and I was like, depending if I had like a really great... idea for my character and stuff I'm working on. I'm sorry, how my personality is coming across that day. I've always been a fan of the large parade style entrances, you know, and I think I would have to give a call back to John Cena's entrance where somehow he cloned himself about 50 times and we had 50 John Cena's lining the entrance ramp. I think I could do that. If I could clone myself about 50 times and have 50 of myself there to support me, I don't see how I could lose.
I think you go even bigger and you start with the clones at Radio City Music Hall and you walk from there down the streets and out of the subway, and the entire time you are adorned with carbon copies of yourself. It's like Jordan Peele's Us just like turned up to like a 500th degree and there's just a billion of you.
Absolutely.
Oh, I like this. We're going to stick with you, Tyler, on this one. Since the AEW wrestlers are adamant about not running a show during WrestleMania weekend, what do you think their WrestleMania viewing party is going to be like? Like, whose house do you think it's at? What do you think is going to be on their menu? What kind of activities do you think they're going to do?
Kind of activities? Ooh, see, this is a good one. Honestly, I think there's a strong chance that we could see them having a large viewing party get together at Jaguar Stadium. Just invite everyone, put it on the Titantron, it'll be great. But you know,
I don't know
if
they call
sure
it the Titantron at that stadium. It's the Contron.
It's the Contron.
It's Bortles vision.
Sure, they could really put all that together. It seems like a lot of coordinating. So I think it's possible we could have a great viewing right in the home of the Young Bucks over in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Have some of the friends over. Cody will bring his wife Brandy and the dog. Everybody, it'll be great.
I love that. So this is the last one that I had on my sheet. And I also see that like a few of the screws that are in this machine are starting to slowly and dramatically like come out. So I'm going to try to move us along.
Well, again, the machine's not built for three, but she's holding.
But if it doesn't, we're all done.
Yeah, we're all going to go.
We're all going to end up in parts on that.
Yeah. So, Pat.
Yeah.
According to the logo for WrestleMania 36, which is already out, there's going to be a pirate theme to it. Does this mean that Paul Burchill is going to return and go for the title in the main event?
Oh, him versus Roman. That would be huge. That's a mighty people hate pirates.
Dream match.
The last Pirates of the Caribbean movie underperformed. He'll be a great heel. Yeah, there's going to be a pirate at this, huh?
I mean, it's going to be at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Stadium.
Right.
Which does have a giant pirate ship in
its
structure.
Or bring back Warren Sapp.
Oh, man.
I mean, I say bring him back. He's never
been
in WWE.
As if he's ever wrestled, yeah.
But just bring him back to Tampa.
Are there any other people who are pirates, like low-key, who we could bring back?
Kairi Sane.
Oh, does Kairi Sane go over in the main event?
Well, okay.
I'm sorry. To quote Michael Cole, she's a sailing enthusiast. She's
that
not
is
a
true.
Pirate.
Do you think she won't be on the show, but she'll just be like at the helm of that like pirate ship the whole
time?
Yeah,
they'll have her sitting
at
up
the helm
there the
of
whole
the ship,
time.
Just steering the show, if you will.
She'll be the host of WrestleMania 36.
Yeah, I could see Triple Threat, Kairi Sane, Paul Burchill, Roman Reigns, WrestleMania 36.
That's good. Kairi enters by walking off a plank.
Yeah.
Okay, it really is getting tough in here now. So really quickly, a question I'm going to pose to everybody, including myself. What's the most shocking thing that's going to happen at WrestleMania this year?
Oh, boy.
I don't think Shane McMahon's going to jump off anything.
Whoa. But that's like most of his offensive maneuvers are jumping.
That's the majority of it. I think he's gonna put on a Matt classic.
See, I was also thinking at that encounter. I have some word. I've been digging into some stuff. Basically, I bought a bunch of those 23andMe kits and gave them to people. So, spoiler alert: we're gonna find out that that Miz's dad is not actually his dad, and that Miz's dad is actually Shane.
What? Wait, is actually Shane?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, is that? Oh, that would be huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be, I don't know if the numbers add up. Maybe.
They count
Shane,
to 23.
Yeah.
Okay.
According to 23andMe, that's how it works out.
Oh, that would be, okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
I guess Stang, because we're in the kayfabe machine.
Wait, what was that word you just said?
We're in the kayfabe?
Yeah.
Kayfabe? Fabe? Yeah. Is it Fabe or Fab?
Well, you know,
well, I think within the machine, it's actually kayfabe.
I only know because it's part of my last name, Andrew K. Faberline, that it is kayfabe. Yeah.
Yes.
So the most shocking thing is, I think Becky is going to somehow overcome the odds and beat the unbeatable Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania.
Wait a minute, but
that's
Ronda,
shocking.
But Ronda is. You know,
you want the most shocking? That's who's no one could beat Ronda Rousey. It's impossible.
I think that's a little bit of a long shot here, Pat. Come on.
Ronda's been hurt, or not? Sorry, not Ronda. Becky's been hurt. She's had to go through a lot. She's lost to Charlotte before. So like, who's even to say that she could beat Charlotte?
But she's the man. She's the man.
She's
and I
the
think
man.
You want it shocking. That's the most shocking thing I can imagine.
I think that's a pipe dream. That's like as crazy as Kofi Kingston like somehow beating Daniel Bryan.
He's got so many odds against him there. That's tough.
I mean, also, like, the planet's dying.
Yeah.
So, like, it might die before the WrestleMania ends and we get to that match. So, yeah. Speaking of
all
dying.
Right, Andrew, I think that screw that you were looking at has popped out, though, and I can see another one coming behind it. So
it's a screw
probably
loose.
About time we hop out
it's
of
a
here.
Lunatic fringe like Dean Ambrose. We got to get out of here.
All right.
Let's flip the switch.
Flip it.
Put that cigarette out.
It's still real to me, damn it.
We will ban you from the Summerfest.
You'll be banned from SummerSlam is what you're saying.
SummerSlam.
I slammed out.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
Oh, my God.
Oof. Oh, for as cold as it was going in, I'm now, like, super hot coming out. That's like.
We gotta...
Yeah, that AC kicks in when you need it to.
Yeah. Wow.
It was even more
really
fun
be,
the second time.
Really be hung up on pirates for a second there.
I have a strange feeling that that's going to play a large role next year.
Yeah. I think...
Tampa,
outside of the kayfabe machine, I feel like Rusev as a pirate, or Aiden English as a pirate, makes sense to me, too, if they're still with the company at that point.
It does. He gives off pirate vibes.
Well, this is about all the time that we've had for the episode today. So I want to remind everybody, as I always do, that if you want us to answer your questions in the Kayfabe 5000, you can submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or on Twitter at adowrestling, or you can email them to us directly at muchadowrestling wrestling@gmail.com. Tyler, you got anything to plug?
I actually don't.
Turbo Mansion's not doing a big concert for WrestleMania?
Nah, that's next year. We're pirate themed as well. So nothing to plug, really. I'm just excited for Mania. Want to thank Pat for being on. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, this is super fun.
If we want to listen to the multitude of podcasts that you're connected to, how would we do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, the one that I co-host is a movies podcast called How to Watch Movies the Right Way.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you know, you find that in your app that you're listening to other podcasts in. And you could email us at howtowatchmoviespodcast@gmail.com.
Do you still have, was it Italy? Where was the random place that everyone to your, from your show like listened, like your huge listener base is from?
Topeka, Kansas. Topeka, Kansas. We got a big spike in. you know, we're big in the stacks. That's what we call the Midwest. Yeah. We call anything that's not New York or LA is the stacks.
Yeah.
So we're real big in the stacks.
I like to think that that was the name of some like indie promotions wrestling event big in the stacks.
It is run by Haystacks Calhoun. That's You produce another podcast.
And I produce a podcast called Learning the Tropes, which is my wife.
My wife.
And my buddy Clayton. They review romance novels.
Yeah.
So let's see now. Is there a crossover between wrestling fans and romance novel enthusiasts?
I think you'd be shocked that there is. And both of them involve a lot of greased up shirtless men.
Yeah.
That is...
And weird plot twists.
Yeah.
Also, Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth, tell me a better love story.
Yeah. I would actually love to do a crossover episode with that podcast as
Yeah, let's do it.
I think that'd be fun.
Let's get you guys on. You just have to read a romance novel, come in and talk about it with us.
I could do that, sadly.
Yeah, I'm...
I have to talk about my other life outside of here.
If you end up being someone who listens to Learning the Tropes from this podcast, definitely email us, learningthetropespodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. I would love to get at least one wrestling fan listener over there.
I almost tried to take a segment that you do on How to Watch Movies the Right Way and do it on this show. I must say that there are a lot of movie podcasts out there, but I love How to Watch Movies the Right Way.
Oh, thank you.
I have loved your live shows as well, and I highly recommend those to people. I wanted to play a round of network or not work, but there wasn't enough. There wasn't enough like really crazy things that we didn't already like know about on the network there to do. But maybe
we'll come up with. We'll figure out a way to.
Yeah, I really tried to make that happen. I will also say I also am hosting another podcast over at HarperCollins, the book publisher. That is Harper Audio Presents. If you love audiobooks, listen to it. Also, some news on this podcast here that if you're someone who's been listening to it through Apple Podcasts, but you don't like Apple Podcasts, well, now we're on Stitcher. We finally did it. You guys asked for it.
That's
we answered.
Big.
So Stitcher's you can listen
great.
To
we
us on Stitcher as well. Also, this week, you'll see that our website looks a little new. It's been updated. And we will be posting a giant glossary of wrestling terms complete with GIFs and links. It's a lot of words. And, you know, we try to tackle vocabulary all the time on this show. But we were never going to be able to tackle all the words we wanted to at the pace we're going. So we have this great reference guide. You can pull it up at your WrestleMania party and explain stuff to your to the people there who maybe aren't huge fans. It's a great little dictionary that I'm really excited for. So check that out, everybody, as well. So I think that's all of the plugs that we have. That was by far the longest plug section that we've ever had on the show.
Sorry, I brought three or four different podcasts.
No, I was dragging them out of you. So I guess we're going to leave you, as we always do, in the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
And dig it!
He's a big Booker T, Mark. If you didn't know yet. Couldn't tell.
Hall of Famer. 10-time Hall of Famer.
Oh, again this year, too.
Yeah.
Because Harlem Heat.